This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Final score 51-17. Patriots over the Jaguars. The Scoreboard Show underway. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Phone lines open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Not sure what to expect today, Mike. I'm sure there'll be some anger. There'll be some, oh, we knew this was coming.
Right, here we go again.
Oh, it's always next week with the Colts. A good chance to bounce back, maybe. But yeah. I'm not sure exactly what to expect.
Oh, we'll find out, hopefully, over the course of the next hour. But, you know, and what I said a moment ago, and I assume everybody listening now is just listening to the last segment we had with Fred Taylor, that for Jaguar fans, they have the luxury. If they choose to. Look, I get it if you want to be upset they gave up the most points in team history. Defense couldn't get that team off the field the entire day until they decided to kneel down. They scored every single time. 35 first down, JP. I mean, it absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing positive you can point to on the defensive side of the football today. Nothing.
Even the Posluszny 18 tackle thing. There's a reason for that.
There's a reason you're having that many tackle opportunities. You can't get them off the field. But again, I'm just trying to say you don't have to take this point of view. And I get it if you're upset with the level of play. You're upset with the fact that Blake Bortles has kind of been on that roller coaster a little bit. A little down week one, up week two, down week three. That's fine. Vent all those things. But the opportunity is right there in front of this football team.
Yeah.
If you win this upcoming game next week, you're 2-2. You're past the Patriots on your schedule. Everybody else in the division has to play them still. You've played the team that's supposed to be the best team in the division on the road, taking care of that, and then you get the Bucs and Houston coming up, two very winnable games. So this team can't wallow in it. They got to try to see what they can fix. I don't know what's fixable so much from today, but here's what's not good. The secondary is just so beat up right now. Andrew Luck seemed to get his rhythm late in this game today, and you hope that's not the thing that sparks him to start getting that offense off to the kind of run they want to get on.
Because Luck had not looked that sharp the first couple of weeks of the season, but yeah, you're right. And at the end of that game today, you know, a couple of touchdowns back-to-back. They got a turnover to help him out, and the Colts got that done today. So, hey, Jaguars defense, you're right about the injury thing. That's the scary part of this is what happens now. Do you go get a guy? Where do you find a guy? There's nobody on the street that's going to be better than what you have, theoretically. So some issues right now. Definitely on the back end of this Jaguars defense. Where do you find guys that are healthy? Somebody's got to come through and get healthy, I guess.
And they've got to find a way offensively as well for Allen Robinson. I guess, you know, kind of Blake and Allen Robinson – kind of rode the wave together, right? Allen Robinson not very productive week one. Week two, they kind of forced the ball to him, and it worked out. He showed some playmaking ability, and this week he made a few more catches than he did week one, but not really an impact on the game today. And it looked like there were a lot of opportunities that they had him singled up in coverage today, and the Patriots defensive backs did a good job staying with him. So a lot of things for the team to discuss on Tell the Truth Monday, that's for sure.
Oh, and I'm sure you guys, too, tomorrow.
Oh, no doubt. And right
Monday,
now, for that matter.
How about now?
How about that? 355-NFL-1. You want to get a few in? We know we can always count
on
Saqib.
Do it.
Good or bad, he's going to weigh in on the postgame on the south side. Hello, Saqib. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
What's up?
The whole point is, to me, is giving up 51. That's hard to swallow. You know, and they gave up every. They couldn't stop them one time. No, not even one punt. And just penalties on defense. I know you got a bunch of young guys up there in the defensive backs, Thompson kid. You know, but we got to get that defense fixed because Andrew Luck might be a little bit down right now. But I guarantee you, once he starts going next week, we're not going to win again. So what makes you guys think that we might win this next week game? I don't think we will. I'm sorry to say that, and I want them to win desperately, but I don't think we're going to win next week.
Right. They may not. You know, I can't guarantee you that they're going to win next week either. I'll say this, that Indy team has looked nothing like this New England Patriot team has looked like.
Right.
Right.
Even
and
today.
They scored a lot of points today, but what happened, they got a defensive touchdown.
Little gifts.
They got a couple of gift-wrapped turnovers from Marcus Mariota. This is a team. Mariota and company had him down. And turnovers, JP, that's the story. You can't go in there and be sloppy with the football. I'm not guaranteeing that they're going to win, but this is an imminently more beatable Colts team than we've seen since Andrew Luck got there. They've been 11-5 every year. This doesn't look like that kind of team. Now, they made it up there. They started 0-2 last year, but this is a game you can't go in there, in my opinion, and check. I think 99% of people felt like the Patriots are going to win this game today. Right? I mean, even if though they say, hey, we can beat this team, we can go toe-to-toe, we're not afraid, we have to arrive, all these things. Most people probably, you know, in the heart of hearts, realize the task at hand. I don't think they're going to feel that way. Now, maybe more people will feel like Saqib that they're not going to win, but I don't think it's nearly the margin. I think this is a gettable game for the Jacksonville Jaguars next week.
Needs to be.
Yeah, look,
absolutely.
I can't guarantee how they're going to play. Every game, you can't show up. No. There's not a team they can show up against and take anything for granted this year. So they're going to have to play well, obviously, a lot better than they did today.
Today was not a good day to measure anything against.
No, but they did.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what? They showed the ability to bounce back last week after a bad outing week one. So you hope that here we go again. You got to go out and do it again. And
guess what? Circle the wagons. You're in the division now. Let's go play Indy. And
you're not
well.
0-3 with the Colts at 3-0. Okay, you're both 1-2 is where you're at. You're right there. Everyone in your division, it's up for grabs. It's a fresh season. It's a 13-game season from this point forward.
Look at the cliche.
Well, it is, right? I mean, is that a cliche? Or, I mean, it's
true,
right?
Yeah,
that's where you stand right now. So easy now.
Getting hot already. Getting hot.
Let's go to Travis in Fort Caroline. Travis, you're on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hey,
uh-oh.
Guys.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that was rough, man. Man, I feel like calling some kind of crisis hotline after that one, man. I got my Bortles Combat T-shirt on. I'm thinking huge upset. Nothing, man, nothing. But I got to tell you, though, they didn't give up at the end. I like seeing that. And I'll say this about the Patriots. When Tom Brady retires, I hope they don't see a playoff season for 20 years because it's easy. To be a Patriots fan, it is hard to be a Jags fan.
Keep hanging in there, man, and we're here to talk you off the ledge anytime you need it.
All right, buddy. Y'all
thank
have
you, Travis. Appreciate it, bud.
Yeah, that's all you can do is, I mean, the Colts are one of the lucky teams, right? I mean, they got Manning, they had the one bad year, and then they get Luck. What's going to happen when Brady goes away in New England?
Remember today, we were looking at attendance figures for New England.
Yeah,
and some of
the
down
game.
Years in the 90s, JP, where they had 20,000 people showing up.
Yeah.
They distribute
literally
30,000 tickets. Half of them wouldn't show, and they would have 20,000 or less people in the stands. This is not ancient history. This is
1992.
The pre-Brady era, basically. I guess right before Bledsoe got there. Shows you the value of a quarterback.
Right. I mean, these are actual numbers we looked up today here in the studio from the official game books from 1992 from the league through the league site that has attendance at 19,000 at Foxborough Stadium in 1992, late in that season. Let's take our first time out of the Scoreboard Show. We'll come back. More of your calls. Phone lines open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Your reaction to the 51-17 loss to the Patriots. And scores around the league coming up as well. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. Visit jtafla.com for more information. Scoreboard Show continues.
Yes, it does.
Oh, 51-17, the final. And the Patriots are 3-0. Jags are 1-2, headed to Indy next week.
1-2, tied for first. That's how I'm spinning it. I mean, look, I'm just trying to look on the bright side is all. I'm not saying there's really not much positive you take out of today's game itself. I'm just talking about the overall situation. Could be worse, and thankfully the rest of the division hasn't played well up until this point either. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1, by the way, if you're outside the 904 area code, which several of our callers are today. Let's get to it, JP. They're loaded up. Let's go to Dave out at the beaches. Dave, you're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I would like to personally offer driving over to the arena, picking up Greg Reed, and driving him over to the stadium. that secondary we have is, you can't tell me anyone on that secondary is better than some average arena football player. I mean, we need a spark. We need something different. They're marching up and down the field, and we just are vanilla. We don't do anything about it. We need a Greg Reed type or a Jalen Ramsey type to fix that defense.
All right. Well, if you think we need an arena league cornerback, and that's going to solve things, I don't think that's. I think you're reaching.
You have to excuse me. I'd never heard of.
You know Greg Reed, former Florida State defensive back. Remember, got kicked. No, you don't remember him.
No.
He's best player on the team at Florida State a few years back.
Okay.
Pre-Jameis era, plays for the Sharks. He's a good ball player for the arena level. There's a reason he's in arena football. You know, every other team in the league, they're not the only team needing quarterback.
The point is, if there's a guy on the street right now that's good enough, he'd already be on a team as it is.
They go through every – I'm not saying these guys are – look, is it that they're not good enough, JP, or they're hurt?
Right, they're banged up.
What
do you want?
They're getting crushed injury-wise in the secondary. I'm not saying the guy – and look, the other guys coming in, you got Peyton Thompson playing safety today. He's never played any safety. And they're like, all right, you know what? You, go play safety. Somebody who looks like the body type of safety, get out there.
And they're another injury or so away back there from having probably a receiver go out there to play corner, right? I mean, if you have Marshall or one of those guys go down, what are you doing?
You were probably one man away from having Tony Washington go out there and just do your best, buddy.
Like he's back in the practice squad.
Right.
Go play some D.
Look, I'm not saying you should be happy at all with the way the secondary played. That far from it. Let me make this clear. I'm saying if you think a guy who's playing in the arena league is the answer because you happen to star collegiately at a college nearby, you're kidding yourself. That's all. All right. Let's move along. Mike on the West Side up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Man, how y'all doing, fellas?
Good. Yep.
I'm a 20-year season ticket holder, so I've painstakingly taken this on the chin for quite some time now. And personally, as a fan of such tenure, I'm tired of the excuses, man. We've tried all the different players. We've gone through 400 players since Gus has been here. And it all boils down to one thing, coaching. NFL, college, high school, it all boils down to coaching. And without solid coaching, the biggest mistake and us getting rid of Tom Coughlin wasn't the fact that we got rid of Tom Coughlin, but we replaced him with basically guys trying to learn the job on the job. And it's in turn hurt us as a franchise and as a fan base. We've been asked to be patient time and time and time again. It's no excuse why one professional team should look that much better than another professional team under no circumstance. You pick the 53 guys that out of all those players that came out, you picked this 53 and said these were the guys that you take into battle. So that kills the excuses. Also, excuse me, we're doing simple things like why would you go in a game facing a guy like Brady or any quarterback for that matter? Well, primarily you're playing off the receiver. You're giving him space and room to run what you know they run, the underneath patterns all day long. They get you to bite on that, then they go deep. I mean, we don't have any kind of pressure packages that we could put on these guys. And last point that I would like to make, how do we ever let Bruce Arians out of our division? With the minute that we saw that he was leaving the Colts, we should have definitely looked into getting that guy here. And I mean, you could look at what he's done in Arizona, but more importantly, look at his track record as being a quarterback whisperer. You don't get those names on the house. And I'll take the rest off the air.
All right. I mean, you know.
A lot of thoughts there.
Yeah, there are a lot of thoughts there.
It's shocking Arizona's on the TV right now.
Well, right. I mean, Arizona's up 28-7 right now. Bruce Arians the hot guy. He's a good coach. Granted, you know, were you calling for that move 3 years ago when he went out to Arizona? That would be my question. 3 or was it 4 years ago?
Been a little while.
Then he went out to Arizona. Look, I'm not going to argue. You can't point and say that the coaching did a good job. Nothing does. When you lose 51-17, very little did a good job, right? So, I understand the frustration. I understand all that. I don't know what the answer is. Gus Bradley, his record is not impressive in terms of wins and losses. You feel like there's a certain segment of the fan base feels like you're making an excuse trying to defend Gus when you explain some of the reasons, and there are legitimate reasons, such as injuries. Again, Julius Thomas, Sindarik Marks, Dante Fowler Jr., Jonathan Cyprian, Luke Jokel. How far do you need to go? We can keep going. Dwayne Grotz.
I'm sure Leonard just didn't get cured overnight. Right. He played through it today.
Marquise Lee, on and on and on. Guys who are either not effective or completely unavailable to the football team. I'm not look, it's the NFL. Everybody gets hurt. The Jags do have a lot of injured guys. They shouldn't be. Most teams shouldn't be able to go into Foxborough and win. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. But you shouldn't be losing 51-17. I think, and I understand that sentiment. I'm not making an excuse for Gus Bradley or anybody else. I'm just saying it's not as simple as, well, here's all the guys you picked. Well, half the guys you picked are hurt, or about a dozen of them are hurt right now. Sure. So, and some of them are some of your most key performers. Blake Bortles needs to play better too.
That's fair.
I mean, I don't know. I don't, you know, is that coaching? Blake just was off today. He's throwing a lot of wobblers.
A lot of ducks
today.
A lot of ducks.
And, I mean, really off the mark. The interception was so badly off the mark, I don't even know how to describe it. It was an overthrow. Did he see something? You know, did he see something that he thought was there that wasn't there? I really don't know. You know, so it's not all coaching, but some of it is, certainly.
It's a mix of everything when you give up 51 and lose 51-17.
No doubt. Let's get Lori said she traveled for the game up to Boston, and I think she's leaving the game now. Lori, you're on the Scoreboard Show. Thank you for the call. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. Yeah, we just witnessed the Boston Massacre up here. And please tell me why our guys are all hurt. I mean, does this really happen this prevalently in all the NFL teams? I mean, you just rattled off a bunch of guys that were hurt. Why do we have so many?
I wish I could tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't. This does seem to be, and you heard, who's talking about this? I think Jeff was saying it in the broadcast that he was talking to Dan Edwards, the longtime PR director here who's been here since day one. And they don't remember a Jaguars team banged up like this ever, any part of the season, especially this early in the year. So is this abnormal compared to that comment? Yeah, maybe it is. So
I remember in terms of Jaguar teams, yeah, that were banged up, but maybe not as many core guys that you're counting on.
Right. I mean, you're not having this kind of depth chart issue this early in the season. I'm sure it's got to be abnormal compared to the league, too. I don't know the stats on that, but it just feels like it's a lot. And why? Who knows? It's football. Guys get hurt.
I mean,
that's why.
You know, Dante Fowler Jr., whose fault do you place that on? Guy's knee buckle, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Something like that happens. Then Julius Thomas gets flipped upside down and lands wrong on his wrist, hand.
I mean, yeah, what do we do? Wear rally caps? I mean,
how do you fix it?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to dismiss Lori. A lot of people have brought that up over the years. Boy, it seems like the Jags have a lot of soft tissue injuries. Is the training staff getting them prepared the right way? I'm not going to question the training staff. I assume they know how to stretch guys out. And guys, like you said, JP, injuries happen in football. I can't explain it. I don't know if every team in the National Football League is dealing with this many injuries. I bet they deal with the same number, but I don't know if as many guys that you consider key guys. I mean, look at New Orleans today. Drew Brees is out, all right? At least you got your quarterback going for you.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger could be done for the year, right? Carting off with a knee injury today. If that's the case, you know, Mike Vick will take over the Pittsburgh Steelers from here on out.
You know what might help, Mike?
A break?
A rain dance underneath the super moon eclipse tonight. That might help.
Do we need a rain dance?
I don't know. Some kind of dance. Something under the moon.
I'll do a victory dance in anticipation of next week's win. How about that? I don't need any more rain.
We just want a health dance some kind.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just we need some kind of something good to happen. I don't know if that would help or not. We'll take a timeout. The Scoreboard Show continues. 51-17. All Patriots all day. They scored on every possession except their last one, which was the kneel down to kill the clock. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
51-17 final. Patriots over the Jaguars. Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Some scores around the National Football League before we get to some more phone calls. The game's in action. Seahawks over the Bears, 3-0. That game, 4:22 left in the second quarter. Bills, 17. Dolphins, 0 in Miami. 7 minutes to play. Three minutes to play now in the second quarter. That game down in Miami. The Cardinals lead the Niners 28-7 late in the first half. Some finals today. Eagles finally get a win, 24-17 over the Jets. The Falcons beat the Cowboys 39-28. Great game in Dallas. The Cowboys were shut out in the second half after a great game all the way around. But the Falcons rallied late to get that done today. The Colts also rallied 21 fourth quarter points. They beat the Titans 35-33. So now what, a four-way tie for first in the division. The Raiders over the Browns 27-20. Bengals beat the Ravens 28-24. Big day for A.J. Green. Panthers over the Saints 27-22 in Carolina. The Texans are now 1-2 with a 19-9 win over the Bucks. Vikings beat the Chargers 31-17. Adrian Peterson had a couple of touchdowns. And Ben Roethlisberger carted off the field with a knee injury, but the Steelers win 12-6.
There you have it. Jags scored 17. 14 in the second half.
Unfortunately, the Patriots scored 51
yes, they did.
Today and scored on every single drive they had the ball except the last one.
Goodness. Every Brady drive, at least, right? Garoppolo took
Garoppolo
the knee.
Just
that's
done.
What they sent
he's
him
done.
In for. Hey, I'm not rushing for negative one, buddy. Go out there. Let's head out to Los Angeles.
All about the fantasy stats.
800-355-NFL1. Let's get Justin in L.A. up next. Hi, Justin. Thanks for the call. What's going on?
Yeah, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to know, first off, I don't know about you, but I drank a lot during the game. 51-17. Like, how do you guys handle that up there? I mean, like, because I mean, I go around the country and everything, and people just give me hugs because I'm a Jaguars fan. Like, how do you guys take it when they're down by that much?
Well, we don't drink during the game because
no.
we're on the air.
We're
but
working.
It's there's pizza.
Little pizza.
We eat a lot.
There's a, as Hacker likes to say, fellowship and camaraderie. Right.
There's that.
We commiserate. We sometimes yell, right, at the TV.
Yeah.
When mistakes are made, when things aren't going well, we're like everybody else, man. We're into it. We're rooting for them. You know, we want them to do well, but you know, how do you handle it? You just keep.
That's
what are you
right.
going to do?
You know? Move on to next week.
Right.
That's
we're not going to call. We're not going to call the suicide prevention hotline. You're not going to need to worry about us on that score.
At least us. We just move on to the show. That's it. That's
right.
What you do.
We are your therapy. We're here to be your therapy.
Right. So that's what we do. Now, tomorrow is another day also, and I'm going to guess, even after this super moon eclipse thing tonight, that the sun's probably going to rise in the east tomorrow, too. Maybe.
That's what they say,
we'll
usually.
See.
Daily,
maybe. I hope
daily
so.
Occurrence.
If not, then we're in trouble.
Let's go to Adam on the south side. Justin, thank you for the call. Adam, you're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I just wanted to know kind of what your evaluation would be if you were playing Shot Con today. You know, what your evaluation is of Gus Bradley at this point in the season, and specifically from a standpoint of, you know, making adjustments. You know, I mean, it just seems, looking at week one against the Panthers, you know, we stuck to what we were doing the whole game, never made any adjustments, and it was what it was. You know, we lost the game. You know, last week we come out against Miami. You know, what we do in the first half works. Miami makes some adjustments. We never do anything in the second half, get a lucky, you know, last two-minute drive to win the game with a field goal. And then, you know, this week, you know, we don't do anything to make any type of adjustments, come out flat in the second half. And even looking at the fake punt, you know, we're down 37-10, and, you know, we got 8 yards to go, and they're in a safety package with basically two middle linebackers that are going to go unblocked on the fake. We don't have anybody that checks out of it. Why don't you just line up and go for it? I don't know. It just seems like, you know, we don't make any adjustments, and we just kind of go with what we've got. And it seems like, you know, he's kind of a vanilla coach. He doesn't really know where he's at. And I'd just be curious to know your guys' take, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Look, it's very common refrain when you hear this. And I'm not saying that we don't know what goes on in the locker room, what kind of adjustments are being made, JP. But I think people look at the offense, right, and they forget – did the Jags adjust last week when they had five consecutive three and outs on defense? Did they maybe make some defensive adjustments against Miami to really shut them down for, you know, 27 out of 30 minutes or whatever it was in the second half, right? So did they get the offense going? No, but today they scored three first-half points. They scored 14 in the second half. Did they make adjustments, or did maybe they just play better? I'm not saying I have the answer, but I think I certainly agreed with him on the fake punt. I thought that was honestly ridiculous at that point in time. You're down 27. You're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, why waste the card? You can use it another day.
Right. Save it for a more crucial situation. But, that, you know, I'm not trying to be too nitpicky.
But if you get it, maybe you spark something and drive, you know, and who knows.
Maybe.
That's the other side.
They're not giving up. I mean, they're going to try to do what they think is going to work in that point in time. But here's the thing. You've been lining up and going – playing all day. You're not putting any points on the board. I don't know if it would have worked any better. You're hoping the element of surprise works in that instance. Here's the thing. Did they make any adjustments versus the Patriots today? Defensively, I don't know. They scored on all their possessions. I mean, maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
Red zone, maybe. They forced some field goals.
They did force maybe a few field goals. I don't know. I'm sure this will be a much-discussed topic this week. And I'm sure Gus Bradley will get asked about it, but I can't. We're not sitting in there in the locker room. I don't know what they could have done. Could they have dialed up some pressure on Brady? I probably would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that, you know.
How do you do that? You're going to uncover somebody to get pressure?
Well, you know what? It's not working the other way, right? I mean, they're scoring every time. So why not try? Maybe you give up a quicker one.
He's hoping with guys out there covering him, so why not?
That's the way I'm feeling, right? Maybe you blitz Brady and you force him into a bad throw and you get a turnover, right? And maybe you do give up a touchdown, but you're giving up scores on every possession as it goes. So I wouldn't have minded them, you know, throwing caution to the wind a little bit. But then again, you do that, who are you leaving on the back end? A bunch of guys who, you know, several of them were on the practice squad.
Or the quarterback into Auburn last year.
Right. You know? So, yeah. You know, I don't have the answers for him, and I understand the frustration. I wish I did have the answers for you, Derek. Let's go to Al up next here on the north side. Al, thanks for the call. How are you?
All right, guys. How you doing today?
Sure. Great. Oh, yeah.
I hope this doesn't turn into a rant, but I kind of agree with every caller that has called in today except for the arena guy. But that being said, my question is this. Where do we go after this Boston massacre? Do we start getting rid of coaches or do we get rid of players? That's my question.
Here's my answer. You're 1-2, which is the best record anyone has in your division. You go to Indianapolis and try to win. I mean, now's not the time. You're not going to blow it up in week four of the season, JP.
No.
So now if the season goes on this way and the Jags go out of 3-13 and they're not in a lot of games, I think then, yeah, you know, as the previous caller asked, what is Shad Khan thinking? Ultimately, Shad Khan, look, we love Gus. We love Dave Caldwell. They're great guys to work with. They're great in the community, all that stuff. Shad Khan's used to winning in life and in business. And ultimately, the plan, his patience is going to run out on. I can't speak for Shad Khan. I don't know what he's thinking. And I don't know what his timetable is and what his patience level is like right now. But they're going to need to do better. And again, this is one game. I'm not saying it's a pretty game. There's nothing to look at that game and say, wow, we really can build on this. There's not much you can take from that. So you hope that this is as bad as it gets. You put it behind you, and if you can go win next week, you're going to feel completely different, I believe, about this football team, especially if you can sit there at 2-2 looking at it. We got the Bucs, we got Houston coming up, we have winnable games. I think it's the manner in which this went down today. The Jags didn't trade punches. They didn't go toe-to-toe. The loss is not the thing that's killing people. It's the lack of competitiveness.
But to go toe-to-toe today, you had to score on every possession yourself. Is this offense capable of doing that?
Even if you don't go toe-to-toe, score, right? Score.
Make it
13-3. Stick it in the end zone, make it 13-10 going into the half. Right. And then, you know, it got away from you in the second half, and you feel different about the football game.
Right, yeah. So let's take a timeout. Scoreboard show continues in a moment. Your calls, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. 51-17, Patriots over the Jags. We'll return with the injury report in just a moment. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. 51-17 final. Time to look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Changing healthcare for good. Of course, you knew about some of the guys going into the ballgame today. Luke Jokel did not play. Brandon Linder, though, did play through a shoulder injury. Marquise Lee tried to go with a hamstring but missed most of the game today, came out of the ballgame. Said later that he could have gone back. The team didn't let him go. Other injuries today, though, the secondary banged up a bit in this game. Evans with a knee injury, Brown with a calf injury, and House had a foot ankle thing. It was on back on the field last drive. Others, Harbor limped off at one point but came back, made some plays late in the game. And as we mentioned, Marquise Lee with a hamstring again. So all those will be updated tomorrow. Could this be the week for Cindric Marks? I don't know. That's a question. It still seems kind of early. He's out there getting some individual work in practice. This is also the check-in week for Julius Thomas coming up. This was week four coming up. This was supposed to be the week. So we'll see how far along he is this week. We'll see. Starting tomorrow.
Yeah, look, the sooner the better for both of these guys, but have some realistic expectations for Cindric Marks, okay? It was just at the end of last season when he tore his ACL. So even when he comes back, you know, I've had some people call up today and say, Jacks don't have impact players. And they didn't have many today, that's for sure. But some of the ones that they are counting on to be impact players, Cindric Marks, right? He was best player on the team last year. So he is an impact player. He's not healthy. Got hurt. Julius Thomas, proven impact player. Haven't seen him on the field yet. You know, fluke injury in his case. Got upended, landed funny. I mean, it was just one of the simplest plays you could run. I'm not saying that solves everything for the Jacksonville Jaguars, clearly, but, you know, all the reinforcements they can get in the near term, the better. Let's get some calls in here as Derek patiently waiting on the west side for the Scoreboard Show.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, man?
I was just calling. What it is just the talent. We just don't have a talent.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes. Yeah, we're here. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know if you're going to add anything more to that. So.
Oh, no. I just ain't hear nothing else. But, you know, what I was saying is, it's like we don't have no X player, you know, factor. It's like we get, like, the top 10 pick in the draft. And, you know, I mean, we don't have no stars. We don't have nobody come close to Jimmy Smith, McCarty, or Tony Brackens. Fred Taylor, I mean, we don't have nobody. Fernando Bryan, I mean, I'm talking, we don't have players close to their level on this team right now.
Yeah, well, you know, right. I don't know if that we don't have – we certainly don't have anybody like Jimmy Smith or Fred Taylor right now. We don't have that. But I'll say this today, and we know Luke Joeckel has not played like a, you know, you hope a top three pick plays, but two of your three most recent top five picks didn't play today. Dante Fowler Jr. We don't know. Maybe Dante Fowler Jr. is playing like a wrecking ball out there if he's healthy. We don't not enough to. I'm not saying any one of these guys is enough to overcome 51-17. Don't get me wrong, but you know Blake Bortles. Look, said it. He needs to play better. I think he's had two mediocre at best games this year. Had a very good game last week. So he's going to tell you the same thing. You got to find consistency. He's a young quarterback. How do you do that week to week? There's no magic formula for it. But he needs to eventually play like a superstar. JP, to you know that's what when you draft a quarterback that high, that's what you're counting on to eventually happen. I'm not saying it has to happen by week three of his second year in the league, but that's the hope. If he doesn't turn into that, if he doesn't turn into at least a top half of the league, maybe top third of the league quarterback, you're going to be scratching your head.
When does that?
I don't know. I cannot give you that time.
That's my point of asking that question.
Could it be year three, year four? I don't know. Aaron Rodgers sat on the bench for 3 years.
Exactly.
Right now, maybe had he played early, right, because he was blocked by Brett Favre, maybe he would have been fantastic. We don't know.
Maybe
he'd have
been hurt too.
Maybe he would have been. You just don't know. But look, you can't get around the fact that there aren't guys that are causing fear in opponents on a week-in, week-out basis. Allen Robinson played like a difference maker last week. The other two games, he didn't play like a difference maker. Is it all on him? No, it's not all on him. But the superstars find a way to seemingly show up on the stat sheet week after week after week with big-time performances. And, you know, they have not had those kind of guys thus far show up like that.
And all the so-called superstars on this team are second-year guys. They're young guys, and that's just the way it is.
Or the hopeful to one day be superstar.
The air quotes
player.
I use. Yes. I forgot this is radio. You can't see my air quotes. Air quotes.
Let's go to Gainesville and talk to Lucas up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Lucas. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I just want to say, for the Corey Grant situation, you can't fault him on that. If it turned out like a good play, you know, it would have been a good call, you know, so yeah, you can't blame him on that. But also, you know, 1-2 in the division, I mean, 1-2, we're tied for the lead in the division. We go to Indy next week. Indy looked weak versus Tennessee. They almost lost that game. So I like our chances. And I just want to, you know, obviously, if we had Fowler today, would have helped with the four-man front. But, you know, I just want to get your opinion on our standings in the division with Indy looking so weak.
If you had Fowler, if you had Marks, you know, maybe you get a little push-up for something. Who knows? You don't know. But, yeah, the division's right there, man.
And then if you have all your guys in the secondary healthy, and, you know, you could cover a little bit tighter. And
guess,
you know,
what? It's a different defense.
It works hand-in-hand. Again.
Is that enough to
overcome what happened today? Probably I'm not saying it will. I'm not going to try to say, oh, if they just had a handful of things go their way. They needed several large handfuls of things going their way and none going the Patriots' way other than what already happened. But
the division's there, man. I mean, everybody's 1-2. You got Indy. You got Tampa after that. And then all of a sudden you got Houston, which they haven't proven to be world beaters yet.
Did you think that the Carolina Panthers cared last year that they got in at 7-8-1 into the playoffs?
I don't think so.
Right, and they won. They beat Arizona in the first round of the playoffs and advanced. And,
that's right.
You know,
getting the tournament.
Look,
man.
I don't care if the whole division collapses and everyone in the division, other than the Jags, doesn't win a game other than when they play each other. Right, and fine if that's what it takes. I don't care. I just want the Jags to be able to stay relevant in this race. And right now, they're relevant in the race. No matter how badly they played today, they are relevant in the AFC South. And they've got to capitalize on this, though. They look, luck lucked out a little bit today. Mariota had a 2-touchdown lead on him and kind of let it wriggle off the hook. So the whole division's 1-2. Are we happy about 51-17? Of course not. Of course not. Is that a building block? In no way, shape, or form. But you hope they can just put it behind them, tear it up, and move on to the next one and play better.
That's the scary part of this thing, though. They're putting up 30-something points, each of those teams, you know?
Well, today. The Colts are not doing that, though.
But in the past, he has the ability to do that.
Certainly,
kind of
we
thing.
Know he's got the ability.
Mariota's starting to show that a little bit, too, the ability to wing it around.
He threw for a bunch of yards today, a couple of touchdowns.
I mean, Houston may not have that type of guy at quarterback. That's the other fight. But the Jags hope they do, too. And to keep up with those other two teams, you're going to have to toss the ball around a little
bit. See, now that's a good point, JP, and that's a fair barometer. Because this was a team in Tennessee that earned a higher pick than the Jags in the draft.
Right.
It means they were technically worse than the Jags last year. Their first-year quarterback went in and at home, but went in against the Colts and threw for a bunch of yards, put a couple scores up on the board. Yes, he made his mistakes and ultimately probably cost him the game, but he has looked very good right out of the gates for the most part in his young career. He wasn't so hot last week and took advantage of the Bucs in week one, but the Bucs have played a little bit tougher. They certainly, Drew Brees didn't take advantage of them last week. So right now, edge to Tennessee in the quarterback department just on the way Mariota's played through three games, but that's three games. Those three games were not against the Jags. They don't count any more than the ones the Jags played up until now. Let's go get a W next week, and we'll feel good about it. But that's a lot of work. It's not like they're going to show up, and Indy is all of a sudden going to say, "Oh well, we're not the Patriots, so go ahead and beat us." You're gonna have to bring your best performance next week to go into Indianapolis, come away with a win.
Well, you saw what happened last week. You had to bring the best performance at the right time to get the last week's win done.
Correct.
So that happens every single week. We'll take a timeout. Our last moments of the Scoreboard Show coming up. The final few calls before the fifth quarter with T-Way and Hacker. That's coming up after our show. Jaguars fall 51-17 in New England. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final thoughts on the Scoreboard Show. 51-17, the Patriots over the Jags in week three. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. If you didn't get in today, the fifth quarter show is next. 641-1010. T-Wig and Hacker standing by for more analysis as the Jags fall to 1-2. And they're heading to Indianapolis next week, Mike.
Yes, they are.
The Colts.
Look, I'm not going to take too many positives out of them. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I mean, if you're looking for positives, you're tied for the division lead. You scored 14 second-half points for a team that has struggled to find offense in the second half. That small solace on a day when your defense could not get the other team off the field once. Not once. Not a single time without them putting up points. And really, had a couple of points. I mean, the one field goal, 20-yard field goal. I mean, that's, you know, these are chip shots. Most points allowed in team history. Not a good performance. the coaches are the ones that need to worry about correcting this stuff with the players. Everybody needs to work on stuff this week. But the good thing is, if they can turn it around like they did from week one to week two, then they've got a shot, you know, to go out there. Really, the next three games can set the stage for this season. This one is vitally critical, because you feel like if you let Indy start to build a little bit of momentum, they're going to be right back where they were. They were 0-2 last year, JP. They ended up winning 11 of their final 14 games, much like the two previous seasons. So this is your chance. Go out there while the Colts offense is not firing on all cylinders. They don't have that daunting of a defense. Go out there and find a way to scrap together a win, and you will change the whole complexion of this season. I think this is the game we'll look back, win or lose, that could be the most vital of the entire season for the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up.
Right now.
Right now. Here it is. So go do something about it. There's still something to be done about it. That game hasn't kicked off. You can't do anything about this one. Nobody's happy about it. Nobody's trying to say anyone played particularly well. You always got to point out a player of the game, all this stuff. They all lost today.
We had three different guys just because we were trying to find a guy.
They all lost today, and I'm sure they feel that way as well.
There you have it for the Scoreboard Show. Final score, 51-17, a 1 o'clock kick Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis as the Colts welcome in the Jags. We'll go on the air with the Public's Tailgate Show at 10 o'clock and then countdown to kickoff at noon on the Jaguars Radio Network. Mike, well done.
Thank you, sir.
For Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for listening. Should be an interesting week around Everbank Field as the Jags get ready to go in the division next week. This has been the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.